fight with what God has given you, and that is God Himself. He is not sending anybody else. He's saying, I'm going to do it. I want you to go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. First Samuel. Okay. We know that the Philistines had this big giant named Goliath. Everybody remembers him, right? Yes. Okay, if I say the name Goliath, everybody knows what that name is. Yes. Okay? We know all about that. We know that he was taunting the armies of Israel, and they were very afraid, and they were cowards, and they did not know what to do. Okay? And we all read that Bible verse and we say, oh, look how Israel was. They were not trusting God. Well, I could have been in that army because I've done that many times myself, and so have all of you. You know, we get to the place where we just are paralyzed in fear. But now remember, God had anointed David. And the Spirit of God was on David. So, David, because he had been anointed by Samuel, because he was an anointed man of God, he carried that with him wherever he went. Now, every one of you carry that with you wherever you go. You are not going anywhere alone. You will never, ever go anywhere alone because you will always have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, with you everywhere you go. Okay? So we understand that. So he gets there, and first of all, his brothers say, what are you doing? You should be home tending sheep. And they try and make him feel like he's, you know, inadequate. And, you know, Satan uses our family a lot, doesn't he?
Yes.
Boy. Everyone got that one. Yeah, he uses our family a lot, doesn't he? And even sometimes our family is very well-meaning. They think they're helping us. And the truth is, they're being used by Satan to stop us from our destiny.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to say, get out of my way. And get right in their face and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because your family, and you know, Satan knows that. Oh, he knows we like our families most of the time. You know, so he knows that. That's one way to get at us. Well, don't you know, David was no different. His brothers are like, go back home, take care of the sheep. Go back home. Well, the brothers are ridiculing him. Goliath comes out and he goes, oh, Israel, send somebody out to fight me. And David's like, what is that? They're like, forget it, forget it. You know, they didn't want to tell David, we're so afraid. David said, wait a minute. Just a minute. Nobody here has gone out to fight him? He said, I'll do it. And that's where we pick up the story. Let's start with verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant has been... I'm sorry, First Samuel 17. My apologies. We're going to start with verse 34. Boy, you guys are listening anyway. Thank you. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Now, please understand, the lions and bears, oh my, that are coming after you are just preparation for the giants in your life. You are being prepared to tear down some giants. Okay? So those little pesky lions and bears, you just have to tear your possession out of their mouth and then strike them down. Pretty easy, huh? Yeah. That's all David did. No big deal. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Mm-hmm. Do you get it? Do you see that preparation? The Lord who has already delivered me from two battles, he's not going to let me down. You got it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
What so verse are you at?
I am now at verse 30, end of 37 into 38. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord will be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." Do not fight your battle with somebody else's weapon. You have your own. Use them. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's nothing wrong with having people pray for you. I highly recommend it. As a matter of fact, we're having a day of prayer. But every one of you have the weapons that you need to fight your battles, and you cannot sit around in your tent and call somebody else and say, "Fight this battle for me. I'm not going to do it." Use your own weapons. Amen?
Amen.
Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Don't you just love this? Here's this little kid with a sling, getting ready to face Goliath. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. Look, that's a wonderful thing. You think, oh my goodness, the giant's getting closer, the giant's getting closer, the giant's getting closer. That's just so you can have a better shot. You see, you think, oh, this is overtaking me, it's overtaking me. Oh, no. No, it's just getting up close so you can get right in his face and say, "By the power of Jesus' name and by his blood, you need to get out of here."
Right.
Yeah. The giant kept getting closer and closer. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied." Do you see what David's weapon was? The name of the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
The God of the armies of Israel. You see, when David was clear back in the army and heard about this, he already knew he had the weapon of the name. He didn't have to stop and say, "Oh my goodness, now what am I going to do? We got to do something here. What am I going to do?" He said, "Oh no, I'll go fight him. I've already got this covered. I am covered here. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord Almighty." Oh, if we would just get a hold of that and just show up in the name of the Lord Almighty, we can change circumstances all around us all the time. Yeah. You know, and it's very interesting because here's David, okay? Here's David with the name, looking at Goliath. The reason he took five stones is later on, and we'll get to that eventually, but later on we're going to find out that the armies of Israel went against four other giants. They were Goliath's brothers. And you see, here's the thing. David didn't need five stones because he was afraid God wouldn't do it. David was ready to take on 5 giants. He was ready to take them all on. And sometimes, isn't that the truth, huh? Sometimes we need to say, you know what, Satan, is this all you've got? Because I can take on you and everything you can bring at me, because I'm coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. His blood is covering me, and I am standing in his name. Bring it on. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as you say the blood of Jesus in his name, Satan's going to run anyway. He don't want anything to do with that.
All right.
This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beast of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. You see, what he said he was going to do to David, David said, oh, no, 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 no. That's really what's going to happen to you. And when we're all done, everybody's going to know that the name that I came in is truly a God in Israel. And oh, if we could just grasp that we have that power. When we're walking into a situation, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to walk into some situations, and sometimes the only thing you can say is, Jesus, help me.
Yes.
That's it. It's all you have time for. You don't even know what to pray for. You don't even know how to pray. The only thing you do is say, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, God will back up the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will back it up. I'm sorry?
Every time.
You see, but what we do is we forget, because society has taken one of the most powerful things and has turned it in to a flippant response to evil.
Yeah.
And anytime they're angry, they don't mind using that name. And anytime they're surprised, they don't mind using that name.
Right.
And anytime that they feel that something is just too much for them to handle, they don't mind using that name, but they aren't using it from the standpoint of the blood and then the name.
Right.
And we as Christians have allowed the name of Jesus Christ to be diminished to where it has become effective in our churches, in our personal lives, and in our whole area. And I'm going to tell you, it's the most powerful name. If we'll start using it, we can see things changing all over. We can see things changing all over if we will start using that I am. The great I am. We start using that name, and you are going to see powerful things happen. I want you to go to one more verse here that I want to look at. And that is Revelation. It was there before you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the writing.
Yeah.
Okay, Sammy came to me about this verse right before Bible study. I was just showing her. I had it there all along. We are in Revelation. We're going to go through 3 or 4 verses, okay? Let's start with verse 1.
Chapter 1.
Okay. Here are some names of Jesus that will help you to understand the power that you have working with you. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Do you know what that means?
Beginning and the end.
But do you know what that means? Do you know what it means that Jesus is the beginning of everything and the end of everything?
He's everything.
Do you get it?
Yep.
He is it.
Yep.
When you put him at the beginning of a situation, he's going to be there at the end of the situation and everywhere in between.
Amen.
That's what the name of Jesus is. He goes on to say, let's go to verse 2, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. Verse 8, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life. What about that, the first and the last, who died and came to life? There is power in that name. There is power in that name. Go to chapter 5. I'm sorry, missed one. Chapter 3. You're at chapter 3. Go to verse 14. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Listen, he is the Amen. Every time you say Amen, you know what you're saying? Jesus. Amen, huh? Every time you say amen, you're saying Jesus. You're bringing Jesus into the situation. But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. You know what he says? He's the ruler of all creation. Amen. Nothing happens in all of creation that Jesus Christ has not allowed to happen. Do you understand that? Do you understand the power of who he is and what his name is saying to us? You say, everybody understand, he is the Amen, right?
Yes.
All the promises of God are yes and amen. That is the name of Jesus into every promise God has given you. I know, it's overwhelming, isn't it? It's hard for our minds to grasp all of this at once. Go to chapter 19. We're going to look at one more verse because this is powerful. Chapter 19. One more verse. Verse 16. This is the name of Jesus. Verse 16, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, we are living in a world right now where power has gone absolutely on steroids. It's gross what people are trying to do to obtain power. But I have news for them. There's one who is all powerful that every one of them will bow their knees to. There is one. Every one of these people, I don't care who they are, I don't care what they are telling you, there's going to come a time when they are going to bow before Jesus Christ. Go to Philippians chapter 2.
Chapter 2,
Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name. Everybody say the name.
The name.
That is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
That's the name. You know, everybody is going to bow before the name of Jesus. It isn't if you bow, it's when you bow. And oh, let us bow before the name of Jesus now and accept his invitation to be his bride and take his name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.